Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence as we study and learn of Jesus and learn from you. Father, we know that we're always in your presence, but it's special when we open up your word and see the things that you want us to see. Because the Holy Spirit is here to teach us. And he shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. He shows us how to operate in your kingdom. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can learn from you and operate the way you desire us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Is Ron okay? Okay. Okay. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I don't know if you know this by now, but God has given you all things to enjoy. He's freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. We need to understand this. He's given us a huge inheritance, but we have to learn what it is. And the more we learn of Jesus, the more we're going to learn what we got in him. Amen. Does that make sense? All those blessings are wrapped up in him. So we don't go chasing the blessing. We go running to him. And we run smack dab into the blessing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. So, let's look at Jeremiah. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, and we'll look at something right there real quick. And then we'll get on with the deal here. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So there's three things that men seem to glory in. The wise man glories in his wisdom. The mighty man glories in his might. And the rich man glories in his riches. But verse 24 tells us not to glory in that. There's three things that men should glory in, that they should understand and know God. When you understand and know God, you're going to have wisdom, you're going to have might, and you're going to have riches. It's an interesting thing about Jacob. You know, he had a coat of many colors. His dad made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers got jealous and they threw him into a well, and then they sold him into slavery. And then he ended up in a foreign land without any clothes, didn't have anything. He didn't know anybody. He had no connections. He had no money. He had nothing. But he considered himself a blessed man because God was with him. He was in a jail cell and God was with him. This is important. We sing songs about this. The God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. The God in the daytime is still the God at nighttime. You know, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But look, it's when you're in the cave is when you're going to have to put your faith to the test. Understand, I'm a blessed man. I read an account of a guy that lost his family. He lost his wife and kids, lost his house, lost everything. And he sat down and wrote an amazing song that people sing, Christians sing all the time. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's really All Is Well With My Soul. He said, it's all right. Lost everything, but it's okay. Another account of a man that I read of, he was an Oklahoma oil man. And one day he was fantastically wealthy, and the next day he was broke. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, hey, I got God on the inside of me. He's the one that made me rich. He'll make me rich again. He wasn't worried about it. You see how that is? I know a man that won $500,000. He went to Deadwood, played a slot machine, won $500,000, and it ruined him. I've never seen that man again, and as far as I know, he's broke. You see accounts of people that win millions of dollars in the lottery, and they got it, and the next thing you know, they don't have nothing. But some guy from the IRS hounded them. You hear that all the time. What happened? The riches, it's not in the riches. The riches can only carry you so far. Your strength can only carry you so far. Your wisdom can only carry you so far. But God, who knows everything, who has everything, and is the strength of your life, can take you farther than what you ever thought you could go. Amen? That's what I always like about Wayne Myers. He said something. He said, you don't know how far you can go till you dare to go too far. So when you get out there farther than what your money and your wisdom and your strength can take you, and you look to Jesus and say, save me, and he finishes the job, all you can do is say, that's the grace of God. You give God the glory. You see how that works? He just wants somebody who's willing to walk out on that water far enough to get in trouble. And then he can kick in and he can get the job done. Amen. But he's not looking for somebody, however, that already has the ability to do it. Because they'll go in there and say, look what I did. Amen. He uses the weak things to confound the strong thing. Amen. Verse 24 says, there's three things that men should glory in, that they should understand and know God. That God exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in earth. God exercises loving kindness towards people. Amen. Now there's a thing. Sometimes I've seen people get ran over by other people just because the other people could. God will not allow his children to be ran over. Those people will run into an answer for being mean to poor people. You can't be mean to poor people. You can't be mean to weak people. Amen? We're supposed to take care of those people. I think that's what irritates some of the local bullies in town sometimes, because I stand up to them when they're trying to oppress some of the people that they think they can get away with oppressing. I jump on them. I say, no, I'm on their side. They don't like that. In a time where the church should be boisterous and flexing their muscles. Most of them are sitting on the bench, being meek and quiet, hoping they don't stir the pot. Need to get up, get on the field, get your fighting clothes on and get out there, get in the game. Verse 3 says, or the next thing that men should glory in, that these things delight God instead of human wisdom, power, and riches. When you delight in that, God takes delight in that. See how that goes? When you delight in His righteousness, in His judgment, delight in His wisdom and His ability, He gets delight out of that. Because you're giving Him the glory. John 14, verse 12 says, if you ask anything in My name, that will I do. That, and Jesus said He would do that, that the Father may be glorified. See, that just takes us in a whole different realm. Now it's not about us and our ability. All we do is ask in the name of Jesus, and Jesus does the doing, and God gets the glory. Amen? And then that would stop some of the people having their names wrote on pews. And some of the people having their names wrote on special pieces of equipment that they donated to the church or whatever. God gave you the ability to bless the church. Why don't you put His name on it? Now, knowing God is the basis of all blessings of life, here and hereafter, it is the condition of trust in God. One who is unknown cannot be trusted at all. So we have to be like Abraham, who was fully persuaded. I mean, he just trusted God. He said, okay. I'm going to take my son up a mountain. I'm going to tie him up, and I'm going to sacrifice him. I think Abraham went up there excited to see how this was all going to go down, because I think Abraham was expecting to see God raise his son back up out of the ashes, because God had promised him that his seed would be as multiplied as the stars through Isaac. But he trusted God. He said, you know, evidently God had taken him through so much, and he'd seen God do so much by that time, till he didn't even discuss it with the little woman over coffee. He just got up in the morning, took the boy, they went up the mountain. It wasn't a problem. He was just going to go do what God said. And God stopped him. It was that absolute willingness to do what God told him to do that gave God the right to put his son in that place. And it was Isaac's willingness to obey his father that gave Jesus that spot. Amen? It took a couple of them, but they made a covenant. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I think sometimes if we kind of look at these things, you know, I don't think Abraham was shaken in fear. I don't think it was a long walk up that mountain. I think he went skipping up that mountain thinking, man, I'm going to see God do an absolute miracle. And he did. God said, I will provide myself the lamb. Abraham was a professional sheep herder. He was a full-time sheep man. He knew sheep. You can't tell me that he wouldn't have missed a ram caught in the thorns on his way up there. He's seen an absolute miracle right there, spot on, right at the right time, just when he needed it. That's the way we are. Too many times, people give up in the midnight hour. You know, just before their miracle happens, they give up. It's always the coldest time of day is just before the sun comes up. Just when you want to give up is right when the sun is about to shine. Hang in there for just a little bit longer and let the sun shine on you. He's there. He's going to see it through. He's going to make it happen. Now verse 34, they shall teach no man. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So, you're going to have to come to know God. There's a lot of people that know about God. They know about Jesus. There's a lot of preachers that know about Jesus. And I can tell by the way they talk, they don't know Jesus. They know about him. They know some doctrine, but they don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus and support the killing of millions of babies. You don't know Jesus and support gay marriage and gay pastors. You don't. You may know about Jesus. You may know about some doctrine. But you can't tell me that the life of Jesus is ruling in your heart and you support a platform that kills millions of babies. You're not going to convince me. There is a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. Amen? See, you could come and tell me that Butch gets up in the morning and slams 3 Red Bulls for breakfast. Well, I know about Butch, but I don't know what he does in the morning. I don't have any clue. But if you came and told me that Pete slammed 3 Red Bulls for breakfast, I'd tell you no, because I know Pete. He's going to get up with a big cup of coffee that he has to hold with 2 hands. Amen. That's what he's going to have for breakfast. A big cup of coffee. You know, I know him. I know about him, but I know him. On their morning rituals, anyway. I don't know nothing. He could be a complete squirrel. I don't know. Go to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. In righteousness shall you be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for thy sake. Now go down to verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And here's the thing. That's a Bible promise. And you don't want to crash into that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This should stop all gossip in its tracks. Period. About Christians. I'm going to give you a little warning. There may be a Christian out there that's living like a caged squirrel, but he's still a Christian. He might not know much, but he might know that verse right there. And he might be standing on that verse. That might be the only thing he knows. And if you're talking bad about that man, eventually you're going to bump into that verse. And you won't like it. God will protect his own. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. Believe me, I say that a lot. There's a lot of things that get said about me. So I just say that a lot. And you got to know that there's witches in this town. Did you know that? And one right down the street. Do you know what their job is? Sending curses out into the atmosphere. You know who their favorite targets are? So that verse gets said quite often. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. You need to do that every once in a while. Do you know that not everybody is saying nice things about you? I don't care if they go to church with you. They're not all saying nice things about you. So you should get that verse in your heart so you can say it once in a while. Get it out in the atmosphere so that the angels that hearken unto the voice of his word have a job. Amen? But you got to know him as the good shepherd. The good shepherd has a staff and rod to protect you, take you out of harm's way, keep the wolves off of you. Amen? He just needs a little bit of cooperation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So, this is why we're given the written word of God. So we can be mature in the word of God, so that we can be profitable unto all good works. Unto all good works. You know, you see somebody out there floating around that needs some help, you can help them. You can give to a good cause. There's lots of things you can do in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's lots of ways that you can be useful. You can be profitable unto those good works. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Back over there. "That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." This is a willing to communicate is willing to give. So sometimes you may run into somebody that needs a few bucks. And they're not just on the bum. You know, you'll know the ones that are working the circuit. You know, because they'll hit you and then they'll hit your neighbor and they'll go on. You know, they'll work the people around. But there's people that sometimes genuinely just need help. And you don't know, you know, you don't realize sometimes how far 50 bucks goes. You don't realize how far 100 bucks goes. You don't realize, You don't know that $1,000 can change somebody's life completely. Can completely change somebody's life. Unfortunately, what happens is people sit around and say, well, they just made stupid decisions and they did wrong things. Yeah, maybe they did. Maybe they did weave when they should have wobbled. And then you don't realize that there are some people really absolutely do live paycheck to paycheck. And one blown tire can set them on edge for 6 months. you really need to have a little more compassion for your fellow humans. You know, the people out in this world. This is talking about the good works. You know, Jesus ran into a guy that had leprosy, and he jumped out from underneath this rock. And this guy said, you know, he had put himself at risk. He wasn't supposed to be out there. He wasn't supposed to be seen in public. And he said, if thou will, I know you can cleanse me. I know you can heal me. Jesus said, I will. And he touched him. He touched him. I've had preachers tell me that you should wear a glove before you lay hands on the sick. I thought, what? And then they said, yeah, and when you get done praying for them, you need to wash your hand. You need to have a hand sanitizer. Are you serious? You're praying for somebody, asking for the blood of Jesus to cleanse somebody and defeat this sickness, and you're telling me that you're afraid you're going to get that sickness that you're trying to get rid of. Get real. Stop knowing about Jesus and start knowing Him. When you know Jesus, you're not going to be wearing gloves and masks and carrying 5 gallons of hand sanitizer around with you. Amen? Here's the thing about the compassion of Jesus that we can learn. This man could have no contact with people. We don't know how long it had been since he had been touched by his family, since any man touched him. And there he was. All of a sudden, the Lord of glory touched him and healed him. And said, now go with your pigeon and have the high priest pronounce you clean. Can you imagine the joy in that man's heart? Said, man, I got a new lease in life. Do you realize that's what you do to people when they get born again? When you tell them that God loves them, that He has forgiven them, that Jesus paid the full price on His cross, and He's not mad at you. Do you know the relief people get out of that? Feels like a 10-ton weight gets lifted off of them. Amen? And then it's really refreshing when they come to church and people love on them. Offer them a cup of coffee. Give them something to eat. Encourage them. Amen? That's the cool stuff in the kingdom that we have access to every day. But we need to be ready to distribute. We need to be willing to distribute. And we don't have to investigate. Just go on with it and let God sort it out. Amen? A Look at James chapter 2, verse 14, and we'll stop with this one. It's really fun when you just tune in to the Holy Spirit and just do what He tells you to do. One of the most exciting things for me one time was I was broke. I had $50 in my name. I had my groceries bought, but I needed a $1,500 part for my pickup. I was thinking, man, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get $1,500 put together for this thing. I can eat three times a week. But I had my $50 cash for the week to kind of get through. And I went to the coffee shop, had a cup of coffee, I was checking in, making sure if there's anything shaking. And I come out of that coffee shop, and there was this lady on this little stroller. She come up there, and she said, can you help me get some groceries? And the Holy Spirit said, give her that $50. Yeah, whatever. Give her that $50. I said, oh, I got food, and I got a job. I'll be all right. So I'm driving down the road to work, and this guy calls me, this mechanic calls me, and he said, my friend just come walking in the shop with this part that you need for your pickup. And he said, you could just have it. I said, I don't need it. So I put it on, and it's ready to go. All right, man, let's go. He said, I ain't going to charge you anything for it either. I ain't going to charge you for putting it on. Just come get it. Rock on. Okay. See how God can change things for you with an open heart and a willing attitude and just kind of let Him kind of work things out. So by me helping this lady with what I had, He was able to multiply that back to me to get me what I needed. Amen? At just the right time. Don't try to figure it out. Just go with it. He's got ways. He's got a financial system that will blow your mind if you just roll with it. Here's what happens. People get their little notebook out and say, okay, car insurance costs this much. House insurance costs this much. Gas costs this much. We got to spend this much on food. We got to spend this much on clothes. We got to spend this much on the kid. We got this much for dog food. We got this much for cat food. And they just figure everything out to the penny. So now we got $300 left out of the check. And we got to put this into retirement. We got to put this into whatever. And we got to put this into this. And they put their tithe in. They got everything figured out to a penny. And then they wonder why things just don't flow. It works, but it just doesn't flow in an exciting way. What makes you think you know everything? You know, there is people that stay with the same job for 30 years, 40 years. But I grew up in an area where you could have a great job one day, and you could be a cowboy the next day. Literally. They could just roll into a coal mine and lay off 300 people. They could just roll into an oil field, and there could be thousands of people out of work overnight. And those people had all their plans. They went with all their wisdom. They went with all their knowledge and everything. And they lost everything they had. They didn't go with the wisdom of God. It says, know me, learn of me. Amen? That's the wisdom of God, to learn of Jesus. Amen? Trust in His ways. When you know Jesus, you're not going to be down and out. You might be in a bind, but you're not down and out. You always got Him on the inside of you to get you out of that. Amen? Thank you, Father, for Your word. We praise You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for everything that You do for us. We thank You for everything that Jesus has done for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. Everything He paid for us on His cross. We thank You for everything that He's doing for us now as our high priest, making intercession for us. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. Show us how to live. Show us how to go. Show us what to do. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well.